This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. It's episode 276, and it's our last show of training camp. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site, of course, covering the Arizona Cardinals. And my co-host, as always, unless we're doing another preview, but as is typically the case, is Seth Cox from AvengeTheBirds.com, the Arizona Cardinals site from SB Nation. We are at the final week of training camp. Roster cuts are this weekend. And so in this show, we're going to talk about forming the final roster in a little bit of the practice squad, Seth. Can you believe it? We're less than 2 weeks away from football.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we're finally there, and we're just kind of waiting to see how it ends up and how things are unravel here, because this has been an offseason basically unlike any other, and not just because of COVID, but as a result of COVID, we don't really know anything that's going on.
It's very different this offseason across the NFL. Pretty much every NFL franchise is treated camp differently in terms of coverage, since fans cannot attend. In fact, it's going to be different for teams in general, because normally every team gets every team's training camp footage, and also gets the preseason stuff. And so we have, basically, no one knows anything about anybody's players, and which will make probably player movement not very common this year after waivers, unless it's a known commodity. Some of these undrafted guys, you might see a few if they've been scouted. But then the other thing is that the media is limited in what they're going to be doing. Normally, during the preseason and training camp, one of the things I love to do is look at rotations, who's playing with what team. That has not been allowed. I mean, reporters have seen it. It's all off the record. And so, based on the stuff that we know, and some of the things we think, and some of the things that we can't directly say, we're going to put together our 53-man rosters for the Cardinals. I published mine already on Cards Wire on Monday. And we'll kind of break things down by position group. We'll start with the position groups, and we'll talk about who we pick and kind of talk about how the roster, so the kind of the guys on the bubble and the directions they could go. Let's go ahead and get started with quarterbacks and running backs. Now, we know at quarterback, there's obviously going to be two. We know the two that are going to be certainly on the roster. That's Kyler Murray and Brett Hundley. Now, question, Seth, what do you think the likelihood is of the Cardinals keeping a third quarterback in Chris Streveler on the roster? I have been, like, I've done a few projections, and I think I change every single week based on what I hear and what I see. And I'm just not sure I think they might want to, but I don't know if they can afford the spot.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because you have to figure out how this is going to play out. And that's one of the things with this offseason of kind of low information that we have to decipher on our own and kind of pick through. I have them keeping Streveler. I think that the investment they made, and it wasn't a ton, but I think it was $125,000 or something like that this offseason, it tells me that they want Streveler. And you and I talked about this a little bit off the air. I talked about this last year. I really do think that they wanted to kind of groom Drew Anderson last year. And they did, and they really liked Drew, except then they got a chance to pick up Chris Streveler, and they got a chance to work with Chris Streveler, and I think that was something Cliff wanted. You and I kind of talked about it. Streveler's athleticism and arm talent is similar to Kyler Murray. He's not obviously not the quarterback Murray is, but just from an athleticism and arm standpoint, he's similar. So I think the question becomes, do they trust him to get onto the practice squad? I don't think they can, so I've got them keeping three quarterbacks for that reason.
And I have them not. Like, last week, I thought he was going to be on. This week, I don't think they can. I don't think they can use that spot. I know that he's done some work on special teams. Special teams coach Jeff Rogers talked about how they've been basically having. He's willing to do it, but they're having like to teach him all the basic techniques. They've mentioned on the red and white practice television broadcast that they had on Saturday night. They did mention, I think it was Ron Wolfley mentioned, that he's been used in some practices as the punter's personal protector, which is an important role on special teams. But I keep wondering, can they afford that spot for that particular role only? I know people think that he's going to be, I know they think he might be used like a Taysom Hill all over the place. However, if there's one thing Cliff Kingsbury's been, at least publicly, has publicly been consistent with, is saying that Streveler is definitely a quarterback. They worked him out. Streveler said when he before he signed with the team, he worked out at quarterback and at receiver. But he said Cliff told him he wants him to be a quarterback. Cliff says publicly that he believes he's a quarterback. And I'll say this, he does have an arm. He is super athletic, and so he's got the skill set. I just don't think that I don't have them on the 53-man roster, but I can see how that could happen. It just would cost something somewhere else, and at least in my roster, I couldn't keep him. And even there's a couple of players I would have liked to keep, and I couldn't, and that was even after I kept Streveler off of it. Now, at running back, we for sure know that there's going to be definitely two, in Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. The question is, are they going to keep three or four? And who is that three and who is that four? Do you think that Eno Benjamin has done enough to lock a spot on the roster? I felt he's always had the inside leg because of his upside on offense. Cliff Kingsbury was very clear about wanting to have three running backs with some pot who they could grow with on the offense. And that was even with DJ Foster on the roster, and he didn't play an offensive snap last year. So we know what his value is. How many backs do you think they keep?
I went back and forth on this, and I think for my purposes of kind of housekeeping, Foster and Streveler are similar in what I'm keeping them on the roster for right now, as in special teams and punt protection. But I did keep both of them. So I went with four, obviously, Drake and Edmonds. I feel like Benjamin's as much as a lock as any seventh-round pick can be. And then, you know, we've heard whispers at camp about their usage of rookie free agent out of Central Michigan, Jonathan Ward. It's always go with the known commodity and be wrong rather than try to shoot, you know, throw a dart and hope that you hit one of the undrafted free agents, especially in this offseason.
What's going to be interesting now, instead of Foster, I also had keeping four, even though on my previous projections, I think all of the previous ones, I only had three backs, and it came down to Eno or DJ, and in each case I had to go Eno, but I know they do like Foster on special teams. He is a known commodity. I have them, though, keeping Jonathan Ward, kind of in this sense. It does actually save the Cardinals a couple of $100,000 if they go that route, and that, you know, dollars and cents might matter, that the hundred thousands of dollars might matter for the salary cap. Especially with the six spots on the practice squad where you can have veterans, which that's never been a thing before. So a guy like Foster could be brought back to the practice squad, and being a local guy, he might or might not get claimed somewhere else. And if he doesn't get claimed, I'm sure he would be more than welcome to, more than pleased to come back and have that role at least. And so, as opposed to exposing Ward to waivers where he might get picked up by someone else, and with his potential upside, maybe in the return game, maybe on special teams, and just maybe the offensive upside, I think they keep Ward over Foster, but the Foster's probably a special teams guy.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, that makes a lot of sense, and it would, you know, alleviate some of the issues, because he would be, he'd basically be a four-way special teams player, where Foster is two, but he's not a guy that's returning kicks right now, so.
Right, right. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We're going to talk about another couple of positions, skill positions, wide receiver and tight end. How does that play out? How many are they keeping? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. Back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We'd move to the next group of positions, which are wide receiver and tight end. The wide receiver position is really intriguing. Six or seven receivers is kind of the question. And who are those fifth and sixth receivers? We know three are absolutely rock solid on the roster: DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk. We think Andy Isabella is probably a lock for the roster simply because he would be their other slot receiver. That's kind of where he's been practicing more or less exclusively this offseason. Which leaves two to three spots, which gives you Keyshawn Johnson, Trent Sherfield, Hakeem Butler, and then a bunch of other guys that JoJo Ward's an undrafted rookie. Andre Patton is a guy they brought in late. A.J. Richardson, a guy who's been on the roster or practice squad each of the last 2 years. How many receivers do you go with?
I went with seven, and this was tough because I thought about just keeping six, and we'll discuss how that worked out. But I think, obviously, the first four are really easy. Hopkins, Fitz, Christian Kirk, and then I'm going to put Andy Isabella in that group. And the reason I put Andy Isabella in that group is because I think from an optics standpoint, unless he is just completely incapable on the football field, they're going to keep him you know, at least for another year and continue to give him work. How much he plays is, you know, still going to be unknown, but at least you have him on the roster still.
Right. For me, like, those four are solid. I also think that there's a fifth lock, and that's Keyshawn Johnson. If simply want to go with this, he's an outside receiver. So when they come in, so he can be Hopkins' backup. But I'll take it to the red and white practice. The only reps that they televised were the young players, and they were the backups and the third stringers. At that point, we saw Keyshawn Johnson off on the sideline. He was already undressed. He'd already taken his pads off. He had taken his helmet off. And so it gave me the impression that he was, in fact, basically a first-team guy. And the guys that we saw getting the reps with that second squad were Hakeem Butler, Andy Isabella, and Trent Sherfield primarily. And then you got some A.J. Richardson and some Andre Patton and JoJo Ward as well. JoJo Ward is a guy, I don't have him on the final roster. I only went with six receivers. But I think Ward's going to be really hard for Kingsbury to say no to, because of his, think Damir Bird, and he loved Damir Bird, think J.J. Nelson type thing. He's a player, he's the type of player that every coach loves on the roster because of his ability to create separation and just to get, just take the top off the field, as everyone, take the top off the defense, like all analysts like to say. Now, I've got bad news. I don't see the Cardinals keeping Hakeem Butler on the roster this year. I know that's not popular. I just think it's going to be really hard for how they're going to construct their roster to keep seven receivers on the roster. And I think Trent Sherfield, they do like I'm going to go to the thing. Cliff did praise Butler early in camp, kind of before things happened. But when he was given the opportunity to say what his young receivers were doing, he has had the opportunity, has done so, to praise Andy, to praise Keyshawn, and to praise Trent Sherfield. And he did not mention Hakeem. I thought that was a notable absence. I think he's just behind. And while he's got the physical traits, I think they're going to have to try and sneak him on the practice squad. I heard around, nothing reportable, but there were talks that he was on the trade block and there wasn't any interest in him. So between the injury last year and just sure that he's got potential, but we've seen lots of big, fast receivers come through here and never amount to anything. So I don't have him on my final 53.
Yeah, and so my last group was Johnson, Trent Sherfield, and then Hakeem Butler. And so that's the hard part. I think you can go back and forth, and I won't be shocked if, you know, Butler isn't on the team, but I've got him on the squad right now. So I think that's really the only difference right now.
I could see it. I could see it happen. Now at tight end, I think this is fairly much certain. It's probably going to be three tight ends. And I think Dylan Cantrell is the man left out, but he's probably going to land on the practice squad. Max Williams, Dan Arnold, and Darrell Daniels. Cliff has talked about Max in terms of he's old, reliable. They really like what he adds overall. Dan, I mean, according to everyone, Dan Arnold's going to be a star. Even Kyler Murray, he says, he was in one of those pressers, I think it was last week. He's like, I don't want to talk about Dan. I'm just going to say that I'm glad he's on my team and he's good. I mean, come on. I mean, we talked about him last week. I don't know how much he can do, but they love Dan Arnold. And Darrell Daniels has also gotten praise because of his skill set, the ability to get down the field. And what we saw last year, he had a key special teams role. He was brought up when Zeke Turner, who was a core special teamer, and Darrell stayed on the roster the rest of the year. I don't see any scenario in which they keep only two tight ends or that they keep four tight ends.
See, and I only kept two because I had to find the way to fudge the numbers keeping Butler. So, I mean, if you took Daniels, I took Daniels off and put Butler, and I could see that flip-flopping without even kind of thinking about it.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We now move to the trenches, the offensive line and defensive line. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We now move on to the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. At least on offense, that's the biggest group of players that you're going to have, obviously, because you got five on the field. For me, actually, the opting out of Marcus Gilbert freed up a spot because I was wavering between 10 and 11 players before Gilbert opted out. Now I'm pretty certain it'll be 10, but they might be able to get away with 9. We know four of the starters are certain. DJ Humphries at left tackle, Justin Pugh at left guard, Mason Cole at center, J.R. Sweezy, I think, is a lock at right guard, and we can talk about a scenario where maybe he gets cut, but probably not. And right tackle has been a competition between Kelvin Beachum and Justin Murray, but it feels like right now Beachum is probably going to be the starter. Now, I wrote a piece about how J.R. Sweezy perhaps could be a surprise cut, and I think it wouldn't be so much a football decision as it would be a financial decision, because they could cut $5 million off the cap by cutting Sweezy. He was steady, he was tough. We have seen, in fact, on one of their video shows on YouTube the Cardinals put together when they were talking to Mason Cole, One of the clips they showed was with the first team line, and it was not Sweezy at right guard, but it was Justin Murray. And if they trust that Justin Murray could handle, and it's not too much of a downgrade from Sweezy, they all love, I mean, everyone on the staff loves Justin Murray from what they saw last year. I could see a scenario where Sweezy could be let go to save the money. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they love the continuity, but how likely do you think that that could happen?
You know, I go back and forth. It really depends on their thoughts on Murray overall and what they think of Murray's ability to fit in there. I think if Gilbert doesn't opt out, and I know what you're talking about in terms of Gilbert and keeping or making it a little easier, but I think if Gilbert doesn't opt out, it would actually have potentially made cutting Sweezy easier because, as you said, all of a sudden, even though Gilbert didn't play last year, he's been in the system. He knows things. With Beecham likely the starter at right tackle, even though Murray has played on the offensive line, he did not play right guard. And so I just think that's too big of a difference and change to cut him. So I've got them keeping him right now. So I've got them keeping nine. I've got them, you know, the starting five, the what we're expecting with Humphreys, Pugh, Cole, Sweezy, and then Beecham. And then Justin Murray is going to be their main backup, I think, just based off what we're hearing. Josh Jones and then Max Garcia and Lamont Gaillard are the guys that are kind of the swing guys on the interior. But I think Murray's going to be the backup at four positions, like the initial backup at four positions. I mean, that's kind of the way I've heard things go about what they think of Murray.
That could be. It could be, absolutely. I have them going with 10. It's really interesting how Josh Jones is kind of, yeah, he's making progress. They're happy with him. Sean Coogler, when he spoke with the media after practice on Monday, said the competition at right tackle is Kelvin Beecham and Justin Murray. Didn't mention Josh Jones other than to say it at one point, but he didn't mention it for that job. That they're pleased with him. This year is probably going to be a redshirt year, and I think maybe that the adjustment to right tackle might be greater than they want to expose him to yet. Kelvin Beecham he's a pro. He's been in the league for nearly a decade, and so I think it's easier for someone of his stature to move to the right side. And he actually has played a little more across. So his rookie year with Pittsburgh, he played different positions. He played jumbo tight end. He's played a little interior, but he had never really played right tackle. The adjustment apparently is going all right. I have them keeping five. Sean Coogler said that there's probably five backups that he would be completely comfortable with then stepping in a game. Obviously, that's going to be Justin Murray. Probably going to be Lamont Gilliard, who's slated to be the backup center. Max Garcia, who's a guy that Coogler's coached for a couple years. He can play both interior guard positions. He can also play some center. Josh Jones is going to make the roster. The question becomes, okay, Joshua Miles, is he in or is he out? I think they like his upside. They really love his athleticism. And I'm uncertain whether he's that fifth guy or not. A guy to maybe watch for to sneak onto roster might be a guy they signed late, the kid Coda Martin, who was on the Chargers before. He could be a guy that sneaks onto the roster potentially. 9 or 10 linemen I can see going with. The question is, I think the question comes down to whether they would rather, would trust Josh Jones in the lineup more or Joshua Miles in the lineup this year in his second year. And I think they want to keep Miles around maybe another year at least. Although, I think Miles, because he would definitely be a guy that ends in the practice squad if they only keep 9.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I've thought. And, you know, we're going to go over kind of who we think are the potential favorites to be on the practice squad. But with Miles and then and Brett Toth, I think they like them. And you've told me that you've heard really good things about Coda Martin. And so I think those are the guys right now that they're trying to get onto the practice squad, and they're the ones that are going to be fortunate in terms of the Cardinals that there's really no preseason or training camp this year because nobody else is going to see what they're doing.
Right. And so someone would have to have been high on them to begin with a year ago. On the defensive line, I think it's going to be interesting because last year I think they carried seven all year. I don't know if they need seven this year. If Vance Joseph does what he has suggested, that he's going to find a way to play all three of his inside linebackers, however that's going to happen, Jordan Hicks, Devondre Campbell, and Isaiah Simmons, if he's going to find a way for them to play, I think that's going to come at the cost of some playing time for a defensive lineman. I only have them keeping six. And unfortunately, that means pretty much everyone who was on the squad last year isn't going to make it. Corey Peters, Jordan Phillips, Zach Allen they're going to make the roster. Those are supposed to be your starters. I also have Jonathan Bullard. It seems like he played pretty well last year. And I think he and Allen are the ones kind of competing for that third spot on the D-line. And then their two rookies, Leckie Fotu and Rashard Lawrence, I think they're also locks for the roster. Then it comes down to, do you keep a seventh guy, which is it going to be Michael Dogby? Is it going to be Miles Brown, their undrafted guy from a year ago they really liked? Or is it going to be even the Trevon Coley, a guy they signed in the offseason, has some starting experience. But I think all three of those will potentially land on the practice squad. How many D linemen do you end up keeping?
It's funny. We didn't talk about this beforehand, and I have the same six. I think it's Allen, Phillips, Peters, Fotu, Lawrence, and Bullard. I mean, with what they're doing allegedly, in terms of their kind of base defense, I don't think that they need more than six.
Probably. Coming up next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move to the linebacking core, both inside and outside. That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, and we've got two linebacker groups. And it's very, very interesting because it seems that at outside linebacker, they're really kind of thin. And at inside linebacker, they have way too many players that they can keep. Let's talk about the edge guys first. And I think three are locks. Obviously, Chandler Jones, Devon Kennard, and then Hassan Reddick, even though it would be fantastic to find a way to move his deal. But since his contract is fully guaranteed, he's going to be on the roster and he's going to have a role. The question is, do they keep four or five outside linebackers? What direction do you have them going?
With the outside backers, I have them keeping four. And it's just the way – and so it's really like I have them keeping four and a half on each. But for, you know, ease of the drill, I have them keeping four outside backers, obviously Jones and Kennard. Everything we've heard is that they moved Gardeck out there for a reason because they really like him. So I think it's Jones, Kennard, Gardeck, and then I'm going to keep Hassan Reddick for an additional season. That's kind of how I broke it down.
And that's the same thing now. Kylie Fitz, I know he's a guy that they kind of like. Reggie Walker, the undrafted free agent, is also, to me, kind of intriguing. But I think the glut of inside backers that they have is going to limit their ability to keep guys. I mean, Gardick, we're calling an outside linebacker. He's 6'2", 32. He's not really an outside backer. I think he's got the tenacity to be able to play off the edge a little bit, but if he's playing defensive snaps there, out there at the edge, you're really, really probably not in a happy place in terms of rotation. There's also the intrigue that Isaiah Simmons, with his versatility, I wonder if they could use him. And we've talked about, like, leading up to the draft and after the draft, it's kind of the ideal situation. So he doesn't have to start at inside backer. So he can kind of come in for nickel packages and maybe as an edge rusher from time to time. I think they might be able, and there's been some whispers that perhaps they could use him as, you know, an edge guy, which would allow you to then not have to carry a Kylie Fitz or a Reggie Walker. You basically have your three main rotational guys, Jones, Kennard, a little bit of Reddick, and then a little bit of Simmons, and Gardick only plays special teams. Inside backer is interesting because, you know, you've got three who are going to play. You've got Hicks, you've got Devondre Campbell, who has had a great camp by all accounts. The chatter coming around for that Campbell has been very, very good. Simmons, who's their first-round pick and their future. But then you have to go behind him. So who do you keep? You basically got three guys battling for one or two spots, and that would be Evan Weaver, their sixth-round pick. There's some potential there. Super productive in college. You got Tanner Vallejo, who's done some special team stuff and flashed a little on defense even last year in the preseason and then the one game that he played. And also Ezekiel Turner, special teams ace, had all the special teams tackles as a rookie in 2018. Didn't have to do so much last year as he had a nagging leg injury that he dealt with. Where do you see the roster going at that position?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, you've got your three basically that we know, and that's, and again, I'm just for housekeeping purposes, I'm putting Simmons at the inside linebacker spot. So Hicks, Campbell, Simmons. I think they're going to keep Weaver, and then I've got them keeping Zeke Turner. And Turner's going to be the interesting one, because what do you do with him if he's not an ace special teams guy? I mean, if he's not one of your special teams guys, you're not keeping him, are you? I mean, there's no reason to at that point.
No. But they kind of both, Vallejo and Turner, both offer solid play on special teams. Vallejo, I think, is the upside as a linebacker, but Turner moves better, having been a defensive back. So he is the converted safety. So he played safety in college. And so... Moving to linebacker, he does have a little bit better in term. He's a little bit better in terms of movement skills and maybe potentially in coverage skills than Vallejo. Vallejo is, to me, kind of like a, you know, Joe Walker type player, only not as durable. I could see either one of those making the roster. I myself kept Turner. I think that Jeff Rogers, you know, he was great as a rookie in 2018. And I think that goes a long way. So while Vallejo could definitely make the team over Turner, I also think that Weaver's probably a lock for the roster. I could see a scenario where they kept Vallejo and Turner and hope Weaver makes it to the practice squad, and honestly probably would, because of his lack, you know, because of the measurables and the athletic testing. He doesn't test super high. He's not ridiculous slow. He tested better than a lot of people thought he would, but I still think Weaver has upside. I think they see a potential future for him, maybe even as a starter down the line at the Mike position. And then it comes down to Vallejo and Turner. But I think that core is going to stick around. Only one group, one of those guys, is going to probably be a practice squatter.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you, and it's a coin flip for me on who it is. And so I just stuck with Turner for right now, but I definitely could see it being Vallejo over Turner. So again, it's one of those kind of, hey, flip a coin and see where it lands type thing.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move to the defensive backfield, both corners and safeties. How does that play out on our roster? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We move on to the defensive backs where, you know, I think, what does it come down to? You had 10 spots on your roster, and I also had 10 spots in mine. But how do you break that down? If you look at cornerbacks, we know three, and then after that it gets really dicey. It really could go in any direction at all. Patrick Peterson, Byron Murphy, Dre Kirkpatrick. Those are your three corners who should play. After that, the guys in the mix are Ken Crawley, a veteran that they signed recently. You've got Chris Jones and Kevin Peterson, who played extensively last season. And then you've got Jace Whitaker, the undrafted rookie out of U of A, who's actually gotten some praise from Patrick Peterson, that when Robert Alford first went down and they were moving Murphy outside, Whitaker kind of flashed in the slot, kind of vying for that spot. First of all, how many corners do you have on the roster?
So kind of like the linebackers, for housekeeping purposes, I did five. So I've got Patrick, Byron, and Dre as the three locks. from there, I went with Crawley as my number kind of four corner. I think his experience and work with the team makes him, not with the team, but in the NFL, makes him valuable. And I think he's got a little more versatility than, say, Chris Jones. The fifth guy I had is Kevin Peterson, and that's because I think he's got probably the best coverage skills of the set. He's just a very lean, not physical in the sense of he avoids physical play, just not physical in the sense that that's just not his strength. And so
he's not a good tackler on defense.
No, and it's not because he's not willing to try. That's the crazy thing is, I mean, he'll stick his nose in. He's just, I think, wasn't he listed like 172 last year or something like that?
I don't remember, but he's super, super lean. I know he's a guy that when the Cardinals claimed him off waivers, you really liked that move because of the limited work that he had before his knee injury. That he really kind of played well.
Yeah, and so it's just funny how lean he is because, I mean, I have a freshman in high school and he's 175, and this guy's a NFL, you know, player and he's 175, and it's crazy to think about. But yeah, I mean, so you look at it and you just see I think Peterson is again a known commodity. I'm kind of cheating a lot this year with these things, and he's a known commodity over the unknown of Jace Whitaker.
And for me, I actually sneaked six on the roster. And it's going to cost a safety and a guy who was an important special teams player last year, a guy that they really liked. But obviously the three at the top are known, and that would be Peterson, Kirkpatrick, and Murphy. After that, I also go Crawley, the experience, and probably a little bit, I think he's a better option, I think, than Chris Jones overall in coverage. I know Chris Jones did some nice things, and the one thing that he's super physical, so he does give you really good support in the run game. I also kept Kevin Peterson. Crawley, I think, also has some special teams upside, and while Jones didn't really last year. And Kevin Peterson gives you positional versatility because he can play inside and out. As Seth already mentioned, the coverage skills. And we saw him play some on special teams last year as well.
Athletic and fast. And I mean, all these guys are fast, don't get me wrong, but he's kind of a different speed than some of these other guys. And so when you talk about him on specials and coverage units, That's something that gets weighed into these decisions.
And then I actually have them sneaking in a sixth, and that would be Jace Whitaker. I think it gives them an extra, and I think from people who know him from U of A, he also offers upside and specials. But I think a guy that you can groom to play some slot, he probably is going to be practice squad, but I get a feeling that the two undrafteds that I have on the roster in Jonathan Ward and Jace Whitaker are both have a real shot at the roster. The fact that Patrick Peterson named him specifically was really kind of promising. And at safety, obviously, since I went with six corners, that means there's only four safeties left while you have five. The starters, they're going to be Budda Baker and Jalen Thompson. After that, you have to decide what you do with the final three. Do you do Deontay Thompson, Chris Banjo, Charles Washington, and hopefully if his injury isn't serious, Kentrell Bryce is a guy that the Cardinals have been kind of pleased with thus far, but he went down to the red and white practice. It looked really bad. Cliff Kingsbury said it wasn't as serious as it originally thought, so maybe he's a guy that they keep around. Banjo, they've got some guaranteed money on his contract this year. He was Charles Washington was their first choice last year. Banjo they picked up after Washington got hurt, but Banjo got playing time on defense and carved out a little bit of a niche on the defense playing because he's tough and physical. Washington doesn't play a lick on defense, but he was key on special teams. He was one of their gunners. And I couldn't find room for Washington on the roster. That's happened on every single projection. I like Washington, and I know the role that he had a year ago, although he did miss a few games with an injury, which was why Banjo was brought in. So Washington got squeezed in my case, and I kept Deontay and Banjo.
Yeah, and I took the Whitaker position, and I kept both Washington and Banjo. So, I mean, like we said, the three on top seem to be as much of a lock as they can be. But I tend to err on the side of what we know right now, and that's how I went with that.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, we will wrap up with our final segment, and we'll talk about the specialists. I think it's probably kind of a lock. And then, with the 16-man practice squad and up to six veterans, who are going to be the priorities when they form that squad? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I think we can both agree the three specialists are going to be set: Zane Gonzalez, Andy Lee, Aaron Brewer. But they do have an interesting guy on the roster, and Ryan Winswell, that they keep sticking around. They had him on the practice squad last year, late in the year. I really think he is going to use one of those practice squad places because I believe Jeff Rogers kind of likes him. And here's how with Zane Gonzalez. When they brought him to the practice squad in late 2018 and then moved him up to the active roster, Jeff Rogers was the guy that really believed in him. And I think Winslow might be one of these cases, and they're grooming him, hopefully, that they can keep him around so that he is their punter in 2021 and beyond. Now, I don't think, did you need to add anything to that, those trio of specialists?
No, I think that's as lock is going to be heading into this. Other than, I think Zane Gonzalez's Twitter got hacked. So that's something to watch.
Oh. I'll check that out in a minute. So, practice squad. Right now, the Cardinals have 74 players on their roster after they cut it down to 53. If everyone is healthy, they can bring back... That means if they like everyone on their roster, and Cliff Kingsbury suggested as much, that it's probably going to be you got what you got, and then you'll be bringing guys back to the practice squad, assuming they don't get picked off waivers. that only five guys on this roster, if they don't make any moves to injured reserve, will not be on the team at this time next week. If you had to pick five guys who won't be on the roster, who do you think those five guys are in terms of between the 53 and the 16 and the 16 practice squad? Who are the five guys you think probably don't have a job?
It's tough because, again, with our limited access to this season or this off season in this training camp, it just makes it a little tougher. But I think the kind of five easiest ones for me are Andre Patton, Sam Jones, Johnny Dixon, and then on the defensive side, I went with the Kylie Fitz and excuse me. And then the final one was a little bit more difficult because you've been talking about that they like Kentrell Bryce, and he was my fifth, like, not going to happen guy. So, but I'll stick with that for right now.
I actually like that list that you've got. I think maybe they keep Kylie Fitz instead of Reggie Walker, but maybe the upside of Reggie Walker, the undrafted kid out of Kansas State, is the intrigue. I think A.J. Richardson might be on the block as well. I think JoJo Ward's going to stick around. I think Hakeem Butler might stick around. But if you have any, if there's some injuries that could factor in, Johnny Dixon, I didn't see him at either practice that I attended. He did not participate in either one, so he might be one of those waived injured guys that ends up on IR. Maybe Kentrell Bryce, depending on his injury, and so that cuts it down to. But you've only got a few spots. I think it's going to be or two receivers. I think Sam Jones is probably a good choice there as well.
And I think Dylan Cantrell's an interesting one because I know that they like him and he's got the connection with Cliff. It's just in this offense, if you like Dan Arnold, which apparently everybody does, then you're not going to let Dan Arnold leave. And Cantrell really is just a similar player to Dan Arnold, just not as big. So I don't think he replaces Daniels, and there's no way he replaces Williams in terms of what they do for the roster.
That's true. I think they do keep him on the practice squad, I think, for anything
else. I do as well.
For scout team, for purposes, since they'll need a couple of tight ends. And if you don't want Dan Arnold playing on scout team, you've got Durrell and you've got Cantrell where you can run your two tight sets and things like that. But yeah, I think pretty much everyone we're going to see back. I think the players that they have the highest likelihood of being claimed elsewhere if they are cut, I think JoJo Ward comes to mind as a guy that, and Hakeem Butler is probably a guy.
Hakeem.
Jonathan Ward, maybe, if the Cardinals don't keep him.
I think Streveler is an interesting one if they cut him, in terms of getting through waivers. Joshua Miles is another guy.
They were able to trade Corey Cunningham last year, and Miles is pretty much the same guy, I felt.
Yeah. Those defensive linemen are always tough because Coley and Dogby just feel like guys that are going to be hanging around the league for – 6-7 years in terms of being on a roster for a couple of weeks, then getting cut, and then being on just kind of those guys that play forever but don't really play a ton.
right.
And so that's their feeling. So I think Whitaker's going to get picked up if he gets cut. I don't know. Because corners get a chance. I mean, you and I talked about it off the air. I was really surprised by the Zane Lewis cut. just because I know multiple teams that liked him. And so, and then he got picked up. And so that's why it was interesting that he got cut. But then I kind of was thinking about it. It makes sense if they wanted to try to get him to the practice squad to cut him now and force a team to make a decision on another guy, rather than let him kind of be out there with everybody else. So this year is going to be just really interesting, man. Like, I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting. Like, even a Ryan Winslow, if a team's not happy with their punter and how things happened in training camp, Winslow's a known commodity in the league. And so it's going to be hard to see him getting to the practice squad. But I think, you know, we talked about this last week. I don't think just a kicker or just a punter. I think they need a punter and a kicker on the practice squad this year because, God forbid, somebody tests positive on a Saturday. Oh. You better have somebody like that knows your schemes ready for Sunday.
That's true. Although, in terms of distancing, it's easy to keep your specialists.
Right, your specialists away from
guess
everybody.
What? The specialists, since the beginning of football, have been off on their own forever. If you've ever seen specialist practice, they're off on their own, doing their own thing. They practice for about half the time. Even in high school, they kick a few field goals, do a few trick shots, and then they leave. So it's a good life.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting.
All right. Well, that will bring us to the end of this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, which didn't even crack an hour today. We've done well in the last couple of shows, keeping it as the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We'll be back next week. Sometime next week after the roster is set, we'll be able to react to that and then actually preview week one. The 49ers, it's coming up. That's coming up in 2 weeks. We will have a show next week again. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. We'll be back in next week. Go Cardinals. Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.